everybody. Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. with L. Ron Ferguson, brought to you on CalBanyan.com. You want to go to CalBanyan.com because right below this, you know what there is? There's extra text, there's interactive comments, there's graphics, all the stuff that makes this podcast, this video cast, complete. Let me see here. Let me tell you about L. Ron Ferguson. If you've been, I don't know, tuning in, watching our podcast for a while, you know that L. Ron is a dedicated hypnosis professional. He had been in the world of hypnosis, hypnotherapy, seeing clients before he came to our center, went through our program, became certified 5-path, 7-path, and really was such a glutton for punishment. He went through our internship program, and he is now an expert who helps me teach my classes and shares camera time with Meredith, and gosh, just makes these podcasts a lot more interesting. If you don't believe that, go back and watch one of the Cal-only episodes, and you'll see how these are so much better. How you doing, L. Ron?
Oh, thanks, Cal. I'm doing good. And you know, in June, it'll be 3 years since I've been here. Time flies, Cal.
Wow, in dog years, that makes you 21.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Jeez.
Wow.
So for those of you who don't know who Cal is a creator of 5-Path. He's a revolutionary in the world of hypnosis. One of the things that I'm famous for is I say he's one of the most important contributions to the field of hypnotherapy, and he's actually still alive, which makes him a fantastic resource. Just a literal treasure trove of information. Everything he does is just full of gold. He's full of gold nuggets, a few platinum ones, and he still keeps on spitting them out after 3 years. So it's a really great thing for me to be here.
Oh, thank you very much, man. My goal is to be 150 years old.
That'll definitely happen. Just imagine how good the hypnosis will be by then, Cal.
Oh, man. You know, back when that happens, we'll just go up, we'll lick our finger, stick it on somebody's forehead, and they'll be fixed.
That's right. That's right. It'll be 55 path by then, right?
We'll be the hypnolipnotists. Hypnolipnotists. We just lick our finger and stick it on their forehead, and it's kind of like the Vulcan mind meld, except it's a lot better.
Absolutely.
Hey, what are we doing today?
Well, today we are continuing our list of controversial topics, and I just wanted to say, you know, the last two episodes, I'm kind of known as being a little bit more conservative, like, yeah, you know, there should be more standards in the profession. And that's all just because, Cal, deep down, there's a part of me that really just wanted to be a cop or a federal agent or something like that. I mean, look at this. I have it in my wallet. Freeze! Hypnotherapist certified. Don't move. You're going to be in hypnosis. It's funny, I have a federal agent friend that actually does that, but it's a lot more funny when he does it. The hypnosis police. Isn't that what you said last session, Cal?
Was that a sight gag? Because I didn't see any of it. Was it funny?
It was really funny, Cal. You missed it all. Don't worry, you'll see it on video later.
I used to carry a gun.
What I did was I have my National Guild of Hypnotists card. It says certified hypnotherapist. I have it in my wallet where my picture usually is. And I flash at the camera and I said, freeze! And it's like a badge, you know?
Nice.
But yeah, I think that's why I have such strong opinions on the subject. Anyway.
You know, the reason why you have strong opinions on the subject and why you want all this regulation and stuff is because deep down, you are disappointed in some of the people you run into out there that go, I'm a hypnotherapist, and they're off in la-la land.
That's exactly right, Cal. That is the absolute top reason, is I've just met a lot of hypnotherapists who suck. And you can quote me on that.
Why don't you tell them how you really feel?
That's how I really feel. L. Ron Ferguson said, there's a lot of hypnotherapists out there that suck. And we'll see what they have to say about that below. But moving on to maybe nicer and warmer opinions that we might share, why don't we talk about the next point of controversy?
All right, shall I do my opening statements?
Yeah, see if you can make it even quicker this time.
All right,
I challenge
yada, 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 and yada. How was that?
That's pretty good. That's not
no, I gotta do it.
Go ahead.
We retain the right to change our minds when confronted with new information. If you have information or resources that you believe we've overlooked, that is what the comments section below is for. These hypnosis training videos are not intended to be a complete dissertation on the subject. We are not lawyers. We are not doctors. We're not giving out legal or medical advice. Do not practice medicine or psychology without a license. Obey the laws where you live and practice. Basically, be smart, use common sense, and you should join, with other hypnotists that have high values, such as the National Guild of Hypnotists. And by the way, when I promote the National Guild of Hypnotists, I get nothing out of it. They don't give me a kickback or anything like that. It's just, I hang with the best, and if something better comes along, you'll be the first to know. Now, next little list here is our decisions for criteria about each one of these topics is whatever we recommend should first and foremost cause no harm, be legal, be ethical, be effective, and must be good for the profession at large, our clients, and to acknowledge that there are individual differences in clients and hypnotherapists' needs. Okay, what's our topic for today?
Why don't we talk about stage hypnosis and does it or does it not help the profession?
All right. I started last time. Why don't you start this time?
All right. I'll start this time with my opinion. And, it's hard to be black and white on a lot of this stuff, Cal, because I really do see all sides of it. There's a lot of positive aspects of stage hypnotherapy. To name just a few, it excites people.
Wait, you've just developed a whole new profession.
Huh?
Stage hypnotherapy.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, you know what? They actually do that in some hypnotherapy schools, pretty much.
And anyway, that's a whole nother topic.
That's a whole nother soapbox. You know what? Add that to the list. That's another point of controversy. Should hypnosis schools do therapy in front of class? Like age regression in front of the class. That is not on our list, and that's a great idea. Thank you, Elron. So, right now we're talking about stage hypnotism, and it's great for the imagination that it excites within people. You know, it creates all these wonders, like, oh, wow, stage hypnosis. Anything's possible with hypnosis. Wow, you can make a person do this, and you can make a person do that. And, any publicity is good publicity, and one of my favorite guys, Darren Brown, he's a British mentalist, actually, and he's, a hypnotist and an NLP guy and all that kind of stuff. He does all kinds of great stuff that's just really fascinating about, he does mind reading manipulation. A lot of his stuff is more mentalism. He doesn't really use hypnosis. He just uses, like, influence and stuff like that, but people think that it's hypnosis when it's actually just really good influence manipulation. Cold reading, he does a lot of that stuff. But it's still lumped in with hypnosis and excites people about it. Now, I will say this. I'm on the fence about it because, on the other hand, I think that stage hypnosis is just another objection that we have to overcome. It takes the profession down from time to time, depending on what people have seen in the past. I will say that probably one of the reasons that we need to talk about hypnosis so much and remove people's fears and misconceptions about hypnosis is because of stage hypnosis in the first place. So it's really one of those things. Like, on one hand it's good, on one thing it's bad, the only reason that people think that you can be made to do stuff that you don't want to do is because they've gotten the wrong idea from in some way through stage hypnosis. Now, it's a combination of them getting the wrong idea from Hollywood and from stage hypnosis. It just so happens that Hollywood has more stage hypnotists than probably anywhere else in the world, and that most stage hypnosis shows have a little bit of a Hollywood flair to them. I mean, you got professional entertainers on your hands that do like to put the belief out there from time to time. I will say, more often than not, that hypnosis is a state where you can make people do stuff that they wouldn't normally do. I mean, that's the whole reason people are excited about it, because the whole premise of a lot of stage hypnotism, at least in the past, is that, wow, I would have never done that, or I would have never been capable of doing that, but because I was hypnotized, you wouldn't believe what I did. Wow, it was so amazing. You wouldn't believe what this person did. They sang all this stuff, and, you know, that's because they were hypnotized. Therefore, you know, people make it up in their mind that you can be made to do stuff, and I think that even though it is good, a lot of it increases fear of hypnosis. What do you think, Cal?
Well, I think that one thing that I'd like you to hear is, for the viewers, can you kind of discuss the difference between powers of influence and the powers of hypnosis?
Well, hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. Influence is, you know, you play with somebody's inherent suggestibility. You might use hypnotic techniques to do that. You might use just covert tactics and manipulation. You can influence a person with average self-esteem much more than you can influence someone who has high or low self-esteem. There's a whole science of persuasion that has its roots in propaganda, has its roots in manipulation, lying, all that kind of stuff. A lot of times, you know, hypnosis doesn't actually hurt anybody all by itself. The state of hypnosis is just a heightened state of suggestibility that you can reject suggestions. Now, however, if you're talked into something, you know, have you ever bought something that you didn't really want to buy, but the salesman just influenced you into it? Well, he didn't necessarily use hypnosis techniques to do that. He took you through a systematic process of getting you to say yes and basically convincing you to get that, and it wasn't until later that you thought back upon it because it just happened so fast. Now, that had nothing to do with putting you into an altered state of consciousness or anything like that. It just had to do with finding what motivated you as a person and using that to get you to buy. Hypnosis all by itself is relatively harmless, where, you know, it's always up to the person to accept or reject suggestions at any time. And as hypnotherapists, all we do is put people into an altered state of mind where they become more receptive to the suggestions that they want. If it's something that they don't want, like we always say, they're going to immediately reject the suggestions. If it's something they really don't want, they'll automatically emerge themselves. Does that flesh it out completely enough, Cal? You want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's pretty good. So can hypnosis be used for influence?
It depends what kind of influence you're talking about.
To get people to look at things from a different perspective?
Yeah, absolutely.
To buy a car when they don't want to?
To buy a car when they don't want to? Not necessarily.
So they could?
So they could what?
So you could use hypnosis to get someone to buy a car when they don't want to?
No, I said no.
You said not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
That's one of them fuzzy things I've been talking
about. That's one of
them
fuzzy things. See, here's the thing, Cal. Unfortunately, or fortunately for us, we have an understanding of what hypnosis is. It's not some type of alpha brainwave frequency. I mean, this podcast is going to turn into another topic altogether about what is hypnosis, I think. But it's not some type of alpha brainwave frequency. It's not anything. People go in and out of hypnosis all by themselves all day long. It's a totally natural state of mind. It's a heightened state of suggestibility. It doesn't necessarily feel like anything. Now, when somebody buys something, you know, people are more suggestible to some people than to other people. That doesn't necessarily mean that hypnosis is a part of that, okay? But if a doctor says a suggestion to you, you're going to be very highly suggestible to that person. Now, let me ask you, Cal, is hypnosis part of that?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Okay, if a doctor suggests something to someone and they are more receptive to that suggestion than, you know, just a bum on the street, does that mean that the doctor used hypnosis?
Well, it depends. If they are in a more suggestible state, then yes. Particularly if the doctor intentionally used some technique to induce the hypnosis, then definitely so.
Okay. So I guess what we're getting at is that hypnosis can be used to influence, even unethically. Is that true? Is that what we're getting at?
I'm asking you. What do you think?
Well, I think that you can use a heightened state of suggestibility to influence people, but it might not necessarily mean that you use a standard hypnotic induction. That's what I'm saying.
This is the deal. I believe, and with my experience and background, is that if you do something hypnotically to suggest that someone do something that they don't want to do or that they think is harmful to themselves or harmful to someone else, they will reject the suggestion. And so if you are intending to get people to do something that they don't want to do, they're harmful to themselves or harmful to themselves, then you must use other means than hypnosis to accomplish that. That you must use, there's many different, as you were alluding to, techniques of influence. But with hypnosis, there's always this kind of part of you that's observing what's going on and will reject what anything that they believe will harm themselves or harm other people. That's what I think.
Absolutely.
Black and white, baby. Black and white.
Black and white. And if they already want to do it, they're going to do it. All hypnosis does is make whatever's inside of them stronger in the first place. Isn't that right, Cal?
Right. Now, what I want you to do is take me back to the subject, stage hypnotism.
Okay, stage hypnotism. What we're talking about is, does stage hypnotism harm the profession of hypnotherapists?
Of course
harm
it does.
Harm versus good.
Of course it does. No, it doesn't. Just like when a doctor does something that's unethical and it becomes public, that harms the profession of medicine. Just like when a police officer does something that's unethical or harmful to someone, it harms a profession. Just like when you take someone who belongs to a motorcycle club and they get in trouble for something, then it makes the whole club look like they're bad. So whenever we have these people, and they're, you know, it's like when we were talking about these people who are not really very good at hypnosis and they're wandering around saying, I'm a hypnotherapist, and they make everybody look bad. And they're the 0.001% out there of really the people who are the PR nightmares, the public relation nightmares. And so there are these very, very small percentage of people, as there are in any profession, that makes the profession look bad. The problem with stage hypnotists is they do it on stage. They market the things that they do that make us look bad. They record it, they put it on the internet, and all that kind of stuff. And all we can really do is educate. I would not want to live in a country where stage hypnotism was illegal, or you know being a member of a motorcycle club was illegal, or you know these kinds of things. You need to take the good with the bad, and really, as that's what organizations are for, is to speak up on your own behalf. There is the hypnotists. What do you call that? Where they come together, not the National Guild of Hypnotists, but the union, the hypnotist union. They go around when people get themselves in trouble and represent the profession in the best light. So, pros and cons of stage hypnotism. Pro, when it's done well, it promotes the heck out of the profession. When a good hypnotist hits town or is on TV, the phones start ringing because they demonstrate that hypnosis is effective in changing behavior. So it can lead to a lot of referrals. Cons. Bad taste hurts the profession. They may be under no ethical constraints at all. All they really care about, these 0.001%, I mean the 1 in 1,000 people, that's what I'm talking about here. Number one priority for them is to make a buck. They don't care about anyone else. All they want to do is make money. And they do that through entertainment. And the same thing goes towards books. They just want to, that talk about hypnosis, they just want to make money. They just want to build an audience. Or you see it in a television program, hypnosis represented poorly, or in a movie, or any kind of entertainment value. These people, a lot of them, they don't know anything about hypnosis. They just pass on one misconception on and on from generation to generation. And that's it. So some are good, some are bad. The bad people are few and far between. Dave Ellman was a stage hypnotist. one of the most brilliant minds in the field of hypnosis and hypnotherapy. He wrote the book Hypnotherapy. I talk about it from time to time. Right now I'm talking to his son, Larry Ellman. I want to get him on the show. He's already talked to me and said, yes, I want to do it. So we just got to work out the technical stuff. So I'm going to let you know when I've got this down. And, you know, got my fingers crossed here. I don't want to jinx myself, but I'm going to ask questions. What I want you to do is below here, in addition to anything you have about what we're talking about, you know what I need? I want to know if you could ask the son of Dave Ellman anything, what would you ask him? What kind of stuff would you ask the son? I mean, he's one of the very, 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 very non-medical professionals that was ever trained by Dave Ellman himself. Dave Ellman, one of the greatest minds of the last century in the profession of hypnosis. He created the Dave Ellman induction. He promoted instant inductions. He promoted age regression inductions, not inductions, age regression work. Huge, huge. And he was a stage hypnotist. He came out of vaudeville and just a brilliant person. So stage hypnosis, I would say, by and large, the vast majority of cases help the profession. And that 0.001%, they hurt the profession. They just care about money and they're greedy and they're just like Hollywood people who put junk in the movies. All right, what do you think of that?
It's always one bad apple that spoils the whole bunch.
All right, Michael Jackson.
If we could just find those bad apples, I'd be a lot happier, Cal. But after all, I mean, if we didn't have stage hypnosis, nobody would know what the heck hypnosis even is.
That's
so thank
probably
God
true.
They're there.
Yeah.
And watch Darren Brown. Cool stuff.
All right, wrap it up.
Well, to have a little preview of what we're doing next week, what do you want to do, Cal? Maybe I'll give him a choice of we might talk about working, doing hypnosis on family and friends.
Well, last time I promised that we would do either stage hypnosis or I think it was pro bono stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think next time we have to talk about, hey, should hypnotists offer a percentage of services for free? Some professions require that. I believe, or it's strongly encouraged, I believe in the legal profession that is required, or from state to state, highly recommended. I wonder if hypnotherapists should do that. Okay. Are you done?
I'm done.
All right. This is Cal Banyan. Love to see you in class. We're going to turn you into a one percenter, best of the best in the profession. We're going to work you like crazy. And I want to tell you, I'm being totally deceptive here. Deceptive because on the video, Cal Banyan is so nice. But when I get you in class, your beep is mine, okay? Because we're going to have you doing hypno push-ups mentally. You're going to be sleeping, and beeping hypnosis. I'll tell you what. In fact, I got an email just yesterday. Maybe it was the day before, from a priest who recently went through the training. And he said, I loved your training. I learned so much, blah, 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 blah. But you're too hard on everybody. And your attitude, and you're tough, and you're blah, blah, blah. I go, I ain't going to change. Why? Because we're turning out some of the best hypnosis professionals in the country. All right. In fact, the world. That's it. Cal Banyan. Over and... This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.